Enabling the soul to respond in this case, to the invitations of God's grace. And made perfect, complete, if you wish, the soul by making it more. And the key word is more responsive, more alert, more aware to the graces that God is constantly giving us. And in the two semesters of teaching the theology of grace over the years, I never tired repeating that these graces are being given to us constantly, and that never is to be taken literally. God is always providing us with light for the mind and strength for the will. And the gifts make the mind and the will want to, even depending on how strong these gifts are in us, even eager to both recognize the mind and respond to the will. And then, to close this introduction, the gifts make the soul prompt. We repeat, eager, prepared, disposed, ready to accept the grace that God gives us and cooperate with Him. It is impossible to exaggerate. And one way to emphasize the importance of something is to repeat it. The most important power we have on earth is our will, is a free will, free to either respond to God's grace at all, or what is especially the focus of a retreat, to respond more generously. And we begin with the gift of wisdom, of present meditation. As we saw, there are four gifts for the mind and three for the will. Four gifts for the mind are wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel. The gifts for the will are fortitude, piety, and the fear of the Lord. I will divide my time in these meditations in such a way as to give as much attention as, with God's grace, I think we need to give, and now beginning no less than 19 areas of the Holy Spirit's operation in our souls, the seven gifts and the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. First then, the gift of wisdom. It is called the queen of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, as we used to say. The gift of wisdom resides mainly in the mind. However, the mind, remember, is to influence the will. Yet, the gift of wisdom infuses light into the mind in order to inspire response on the part of the building. Know the word of light. It is one thing for light physically to be available. It is something else for us to be able to see. Over the years, in reading so many authors, one writer I will never forget, who says, the most important purpose of the visible, sensory, perceptible world in which we live is to provide an understanding of the supernatural life. In here, wisdom corresponds to light. Two eyes. My right eye is completely blind. The light is there. With my left eye, I see nothing. And no less, indeed much more, than we need a pair of eyes to see what is sensibly perceptible. We need, well, the eye, singular, the eye of the mind to perceive the truths which God has revealed. And we therefore say, the gift of wisdom enables us to respond to God's grace in such a way that the other six gifts of the Holy Spirit depend absolutely on the gift of wisdom. Just as the virtues, there are three virtues, faith, hope, and charity. But faith is the fundamental virtue. There is no hope without faith. There is no charity without faith. So here, the other six gifts would be useless unless we first possess the gift of wisdom. St. Bernard, one of the great masters of the spiritual life, defines wisdom as that knowledge of the mysteries of the faith which relishes, enjoys, finds happiness and satisfaction in the things of God. Let me repeat the four words. Wisdom is that gift for the mind which relishes, enjoys, finds happiness, satisfaction in the things of God. How we need, dear Lord, how we need the gift of wisdom. Because, naturally speaking, the things of this world provide us with relish, enjoyment, happiness and satisfaction what we need, how we need a gift of the Holy Spirit to, and without repeating the four words, to find joy in the things of God. So too is this, that I don't hesitate identifying sanctity as the capacity for enjoying the things of God, even in the presence of and in competition with the deepest pain and agony in the things of this world. Talk about mystery. Over the years in teaching my Jesuits, I'd sometimes ask them, is it possible to be very happy and be in the most agonizing pain? And they better say yes. All I can do is use words. We need our Lord. That's why we have Him, not just present, but even exposed. What a difference. Not just what a world of difference. What a difference between joy and pleasure. In my vocabulary, I identify joy with the satisfaction of the spirit and pleasure with the satisfaction of the body. But even more profoundly, we can be, what verb shall I use, augmented, besieged, plagued by this world, and yet be, I don't hesitate saying, ecstatically happy. The most fundamental mystery of Christianity is the Incarnation. The living God became man. Question. Y'all shake your head. Yeah, this way or this way. Did Jesus as man experience the beatific vision during his mortal life on earth? Have you repeated? Did Jesus experience the beatific vision during his mortal stay on earth? The answer is yes. Did Jesus, in his human mortal life on earth, did he experience pain? As over the years, for example, in teaching the pagan religions, pre-Christian, the Greek and Roman, the Egyptian and Babylonian, the Romans invented, no other nation in human history had invented the most agonizing pain for executing criminals. nailing to a cross, unknown in any other nation in human history. Dare we say, in God's providence, shall we add, He inspired the Romans to invent the most excruciating, and as we know, excruciating comes from two Latin words, a preposition and a noun, excruciating. In Christ is man, experience excruciating pain and not just during his passion and crucifixion. He did. Was Christ happy? He was. We're scratching on granite. We're climbing the Himalayas. We don't comprehend, but we better believe. That's what the gifts provide, beginning with the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom, therefore, is that gift which completes the virtue of charity by enabling the mind to discern what is pleasing to God and to experience great joy in the mind, reflecting on God. Satisfaction and we know how strong this impulse to acquire more and more knowledge, to deepen one's understanding. That is why, as I've said, the United States is the largest, most academically educated country in human history. The mind is being fed. Did I use the word being stuffed with knowledge? But what a difference. What a world of difference. Between the mind learning, acquiring, knowing the things of the world. You've now landed on the moon. I finished it, I think I've said already, my graduate studies for a doctorate in biochemistry. All I still knew was to write a doctoral dissertation. Then, providentially, was taken out of science, sent to Rome to get a doctorate in theology. Am I ever happy? The greatest joy on earth is for the mind, to see God. Here in this life, by faith. In the world to come, please God, by vision. what are some of the effects of the gift of wisdom as we just said, perfects the virtue of charity. It makes faith hearing. It makes faith unshakable. Because of the experience, my notes with the word experience in quotation marks, but it's real. The gift of wisdom enables us to experience with our minds the God in whom we believe in anticipation of the vision of God to which we are so eagerly going and for which we were made. The only reason for making a retreat is to reach the beatific vision. Everything else is meaningless. When you read in the life of a mystic like St. Margaret Mary, and the expression is almost lost in contemplation for 2 to 8 hours. In the contemplation of God, and be shaken by fellow religious, and you would say, to come to awareness of this world. I think I've told you, William James, the great quote-unquote American philosopher, whole thing book on the mystics. Every mystic in his judgment was psychotic. How would I know what's going on in the Catholic Church today? Good priests sent by their bishops to a psychiatrist. They need therapy. I don't believe I've ever said this publicly before, but in the eyes of the world, a firmly believing Catholic is, and I use this word deliberately, is crazy. We, with our faith, graced with the gift of wisdom, for we are living in this world all right. But it is the mind. Our minds are in another world. As the psychiatrists say, there are people who are out of contact with reality. As I've said more than once, over the years, even before we entered the Society of Jesus, I've had a special predilection for people who are considered well, touched. my 5 years as chaplain of the state mental hospital in Kalamazoo, while teaching at the state university. And I really thought that my students at the university needed more help than the inmates in the asylum. The whole question is out of touch with what reality? Am I making sense? Is it the reality of space and time? Is it the reality which gives all such deep satisfaction for the body? Or even such deep satisfaction for the mind? Volume after volume of the, again, quote-unquote, great philosophers. Like who? Like Immanuel Kant. Like Hegel. Like Fichte. Taught in, I would say, every state university of the United States. Oh, out of touch with that one reality on which everything else in the world depends. The reality of the infinite and all-powerful and beautiful God. You're living in a world which is immersed in the things of this world. How we need the gift of wisdom. Big one. And I've been saying, these are not meant to be lectures here on the gift of wisdom. It's a retreat. The gift of wisdom is possessed by everyone who is in the state of grace. But we need to grow in this gift. And I have 3 recommendations for cultivating or going in this gift of wisdom. First, to state them. Long for wisdom, beg for wisdom, pursue wisdom. We long, as the expression goes, for something that we know is good. How we need to long, crave, desire, want to grow in this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, which I repeat, enables us to enjoy more deeply than anything else in this world. You might say the 8 Beatitudes are 8 expressions of the gift of wisdom. Each of the Beatitudes begins with the word blessed. Any New Testament which begins the Beatitudes with the word happy, or how happy are they who, is not a good Catholic translation. because the word blessed, and it's spelled in English, B-L-E-S-S-E-D, blessed. Blessedness is supernatural joy. Here it is. Know your happiness. You can be happy in eating a good meal, or having a good night's sleep, or watching a ball game. A blessedness is that supernatural joy that only God can give. And every single one of the eight Beatitudes, one after the other, is in contradiction to the philosophy of this world. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And the closing beatitude that has kept me sane over the years. Blessed are you when men persecute you, when they calumniate you, when they speak all manner of evil against you for my sake. Next verse. Rejoice and be glad. Because that's the way they treated the prophets before you. You mean you're supposed to be happy by meeting with rejection, opposition, persecution? Yes. Oh, what a biographical I could be. We need the gift of wisdom. I don't hesitate saying, even to remain sane, especially in today's what word shall I use? Devil-dominated society. I am quoting, and I think I've shared on some occasion with you before, what the chief exorcist of Rome told me in a conversation I had with him some time ago. He tells me we have up to 15 exorcisms in one day in the city of Rome, coming, of course, from different parts of Europe. Oh, come. We don't have these in the United States. Oh, is that all? The United States is dominated by the evil spirit. Oh, how many hours I could speak, how much I could say. The first way to grow in this gift of wisdom is to long for it. Secondly, beg for wisdom. Ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, give me the joy that you want me to experience in seeking you, in knowing you, in doing your will, no matter what price I have to pay naturally. The whole retreat, and not just the 4 days, more or less, we are spending together, but 40 days on the two kinds of joy in this world, the natural joy and a supernatural joy. And I have to say it, the price of experiencing the supernatural joy, which is what the gift of wisdom provides us with, is to sacrifice and surrender natural joy. Otherwise known as the cross. Thirdly, how do we cultivate this gift of wisdom by pursuing it? We are making a retreat, as we said at the beginning by now, we all know. First in the mind to find out what in my life is not all that it should be. I can say this for myself, you can say this for yourselves. What change, what improvement, shall I say, what reformation does my life need? The mind. Be honest. Face the facts. Now the second purpose of a retreat, having found out with God's grace what I need in my life, be more faithful and generous with God, and with my will to choose and keep choosing, which means resolving to be more generous in doing God's will, watch it, no matter what price I have to pay in sacrificing my own will. And we therefore will grow in the gift of wisdom as we pursue what we know is pleasing to God, no matter how, I don't say just displeasing or unwelcome, but positively, and I mean this, positively painful it may be to me. And I'm sure by the time of this meditation, you've already defined pain. Remember, pain is whatever is contrary to our wills. And the gift of wisdom, I assume, will provide us with such joy as we may never have yet experienced in life. The key, all I can do is repeat the words, our Lord must provide you with the grace to put these words into practice. In other words, what does God want me to do that I find unpleasant? And then, hear it as I choose more and more generously what is pleasing to God, He will reward me. I swear, He will reward me with such joy as maybe I have never yet experienced in my life. This is the secret of the saints. And why the church canonizes saints? Two reasons. To assure us that human beings like us have made it to heaven. Every canonization of a saint, hear it, is an infallible declaration. Now the person canonized is in heaven for the second reason. He is to inspire us to follow the example of the saints and how deeply and dearly they paid in what? Paid in the coins of this world. Already here on earth, they have, shall I say, pre-experienced the joys that await us. God is all wise. He wouldn't be who he is if he did not give us here on earth a foretaste of the joys of heaven. That's what the gift of wisdom is all about. Wisdom, hear it, is not mainly in our intelligence. Wisdom is not mainly in our learning. Wisdom is not mainly the fruit of our education. Wisdom is not mainly the result a prolonged study. Wisdom is not that possessed by mental geniuses. Wisdom is a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. A person may be, and I mean what I'm saying here. So many, the average in America is 5 million each year attending college or university. I mean what I'm saying. So much of this education is worse than wasted effort. It will fill the mind, dare I say, clog the mind with knowledge of the things in this world and deprive that same mind of the knowledge of God and the will of God. Lord, all we need to know your will every moment of our day. And if we know God's will with our mind, which is the gift of wisdom, and then embrace his will, we shall be healthy. Everyone else, and I mean it, is unhealthy. Only God knows. But I believe the United States is one of the most unhappy nations in the world. I have dealt with too many people. I know too many bishops, priests, religious, too many fathers and mothers, too many teenagers, too many college students, as I've said, I'm sure more than once, the president of the senior class at Western Michigan University coming to me on Easter Tuesday, Easter holiday for the whole week after Easter. Came to my office and said, Dr. Harden, that's my alias. Dr. Harden, I just thought I'd come in and tell you I'll not be in class next Monday. Where are you going? Said, I don't know, but this Friday I am taking my life. 6 attempted suicides in 2 weeks among my students. Some I kept alive by this young man, some I did not. Now, things of this really do not make us honestly godly happy. What then is this gift of wisdom? It's a gift which enables us to see everything through the eyes of God. That's not pious verbiage. The gift of wisdom enables us to judge everything through the providence of God. And now providence comes, of course, from the verb provide. God provides us constantly with opportunities to enjoy deep down inside of ourselves even the most painful experiences, shall I add, even the most painful persons. I presume at least some of you, not most of you, have some painful persons in your lives. I should have them in mine. You may be able to enjoy painful people, yes. The gift of wisdom enables us to accept everything as coming from the loving hands of God. Oh, the faith this takes to be told by my Jesuit superiors, John, we can no longer take your theology. To be sent a manuscript back to my Jesuit superiors, unapproved for publication. All I wrote was what the Catholic Church teaches, that's all. The gift of wisdom enables us to foresee, and we make the retreat not for the past but for the future, to foresee everything and leading us to God. The gift of wisdom enables us to hear, admire everything as a gift of God. The gift of wisdom enables us to love everything, watch it according to the love of God. What a doctrine we all need. What a doctrine we all need in the gift of wisdom. And I repeat, I have finished my university education, then undergraduate degree when I entered the Society of Jesus. And 15 more years, still more study. But the the one education you all need is to be taught by God. To be taught by Him, and I mean this, to see Him, recognize Him, identify Him, and then a universal in everyone, in everything in our lives, no matter how humanly and therefore naturally unpleasant or painful it may be. Lord Jesus, you identified yourself as the truth. All we need the gift of wisdom to see you incarnate truth in every situation, in every circumstance of our lives. By ourselves,